the end. So hang tight for a moment. Yeah. Yeah, that's fine. No worries. This, wow. Thank you, Lord, for getting us all through the week. And thank you, Lord, you answered all of our prayer for snow. It's my fault. I take full responsibility. He gave me his direct number, and so I said, okay, Papa, I need some snow.
Daniel too.
And then now I'm saying, okay, Lord. No, just kidding. Just space it out a little bit.
Space it out.
Space it out.
Yeah, there you go.
So Pastor Mike sends his love. Be praying for him. They are just, since November, they've just been inundated with the bugs, the cold, the flu, the stomach, the sore throats, and so they're going through it. He is not intentionally trying to be absent. He loves this place. He loves all of us here. But he's like, man, this thing is horrible. They are very exhausted of being sick. So please be lifting them up. And we'll do that right now too. Oh, you are the healer. You are our strength. You're the one that carries us through. You're our helper. We need it. And Pastor Mike needs it. And his family needs it. Would you bless them and give them strength? That those who wait upon you will renew their strength. That they will mount up on wings like eagles. That they will run up to Crowley and not grow weary. That they will walk around Church on the Mountain and not faint. Oh, Lord, that you would give them strength through and through and through by what you've already paid for. So we just cash that check for them on their behalf that they can come up here next week in full strength and health. In Jesus' name, amen. And so he reached out and said, hey, I'm not feeling good still. Can you pinch hit? And a pinch hitter is usually the guy that is called upon. Like, oh, okay, got to be ready. All right. Oh, Lord. Well, I need help. And so that was the word he was just showing me in the back. The beauty of the gift of his Spirit, the helper. His Spirit is the helper to help us because everything around us is going to be tough. And we need help. And what's cool is this picture that the Lord just showed me back here was each of us helps each other. Joe Rausick helps me to get through my day with his delicious coffee. And it sounds funny and minuscule, but man, that's important.
Yeah.
Because when you're getting up early, a fresh cup of Joe is a good way to go. How we help each other in the community is powerful. Billy, you've come to the rescue for so many people. And sure, it's a business, but man, you've really come through for a lot of people. You've helped this community. Thank you. Yeah, help. You've helped us. You guys have helped us. Devin, you have helped people not freeze. You've helped their pipes not burst. Thank you for helping us. We have a few guys here. Why don't you stand up if you're from San Diego or out of town who came up here to help us in the community. Yeah! Thank you, guys. So we need help because we're buried. We're buried. And these guys have come, and there have been a lot of other people that have answered that call to come and help. And they're helping also, in turn, just becomes a blessing to them where they now get help and can help other people with how they've been blessed through the process. We've got Team Surf over here. Team San Diego Surf. They dug out a home of an 80-year-old man that was 100% buried except a hole to get into his front door. You could not see his walls. You could not see his roof. And water was pouring into his house because of the ice dams. And he was sitting there with a big industrial fan in his house trying to dry all the water coming in. And these guys came to the rescue. Team Surf, thank you guys. No, you got a word for one of them, I think. Here's one coming in.
Hi.
This is Anne.
Hi, everyone. I guess I could have done this privately, but So when Jairo began to sing and I moved over there and I looked out upon you, I saw the four, you four, I don't mean to point, but Maui, blue cap, black and you, and white t-shirt. I saw, and the four of you were standing.
Nervous. Holy Spirit.
I get like this when Holy Spirit's on me. I saw tongues of fire on top of all four of you. It was specific because I turned and then I looked out and I saw in the Spirit clearly tongues of fire all on top of all four of you and the Holy Spirit on top of all four of you. And I heard they think that they're out on an adventure, which they are in the natural. But I am sending, I have an adventure for them, that is for me, that's going to affect many people.
Yeah.
So that's my, okay? So thank you. And I hope you all have your spiritual tongues, because if you don't, today's the day.
Amen.
If you don't, go speak to the. Today's the day for you to get your spiritual language, because I saw the tongues of fire on all four of your heads. Okay? All right? And then this gentleman back here, I don't mean to point. You, sir. What's your name?
Leo.
Leo. Oh, Neil. Thank you. Thank you for helping me. Neil, I submit these things. You weigh it unto the Lord. You have such a gentle spirit with Yeshua, and you're a really deep, rich well. And he gives you deep secrets of the kingdom of heaven. And he knows how much you will honor that. He knows how you listen, you converse, and you listen so attentively to him. And you obey. And you fulfill. And I just want to bless you in that. That's me. I bless you, Neil, in the name of Yeshua, for your deep, loving, rich, rooted man of God that you are in the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah. Thank you. That's true. You don't know them, but they're family.
Exactly, by Holy
Spirit. Oh, so we have some announcements, too. We've not really started yet, but we've kind of started. But Don, you got something to share, don't you? Okay. Don, let's hear it.
How many of you have heard of Let Us Worship and Sean Voight? Yeah. Okay, so some of you didn't raise your hand, so... In 2020, when we were on lockdown and we couldn't sing in church and we couldn't come to church, but they had strip clubs open, the airlines open, Costco open, the bars open, all that stuff, Sean Voight launched a whole ministry to worship. He's been all over the United States. He's been to most capitals. He launched another one in 2023 and 2024 to go to every single capital in the United States to worship on their steps. And so some of us here have been a part of that, and it's been... Yes, me and Anne and others. And it's been amazing since 2020. We went to the Capitol in Sacramento. I thought there was like 5,000, but apparently there was 10 in the midst of this whole thing. So pretty amazing. We went to D.C. We went all up and down California with them. It was wonderful. So there is a documentary out called Super Spreader. And the reason why it's called super spreaders is because we were labeled as super spreaders of COVID, but really we're super spreaders of Jesus. So they got that was pretty. Anyway, there is a documentary that has been launched. It's amazing. How many of you have seen it? Hallelujah. One person. That's good, because this is going to be fun. So we're going to do it February 10th. We are going to, where are you going to be? Africa? Okay. February 10th, 5:30 here, Friday night. Kids are welcome. They say it's PG-13, but we're going to run the trailer right now. And I would welcome your kids, honestly, because this is a war between good and evil. And it's a war against the church. And in my opinion, my humble opinion, Sean Foy and the team did absolutely the number one thing that God wanted all of us to do in this season. So we're going to have a taco bar and dessert as well. It's going to be quite fun.
So I saw this really interesting movie that's coming out. It's called Super Spreader, and it was about the time period right after COVID kind of uprised in America. The government said churches can't even meet, you know, schools can't meet, everybody can't meet, and especially churches can't meet. Well, there were some Christians who were saying, I don't know about this. And there was one named Sean Foyt. He decided to go out into the streets and have worship gatherings, and he would just put it on his social media. And thousands of people started to join. Well, of course, some of the news services said, you know, this isn't a good thing. He's spreading COVID. But at the same time, it was just a thing that people could come if they wanted to come. And it talked about what the church is really supposed to do, which is to be a haven, a place when people are in need and that are in dark times and are depressed and are down and lonely. The church should be there to be a light and to bring hope. And what Sean found is a lot of people coming to Christ, being baptized and being in the streets. Well, when he went to cities like Portland and Seattle, the movie gets a little crazy and the documentary shows kind of the heaviness there. The jeopardy really kind of begins at that point. So it is kind of heavy theme, so I would say more like middle school and above. It's an entertaining movie. It's great quality wise, and so we recommend it, but make sure to check out the full review at movieguide.org.
This is not political. This is biblical.
Super Spreader, rated PG-13, in theaters September 29th.
America's bedrock principle of religious freedom.
Rising up, I'm telling you guys.
This guy is probably responsible for hundreds of deaths.
You know how valuable your life is?
Jesus, we have
sent you here,
this country.
Wow, so amazing. I just thought it was such a great documentary. You guys did a really great job. One of the things that I, you know, thought was really great is that you had both kind of positions in there, right? Where, you know, a lot of times they make documentaries nowadays where it's just kind of like one-sided, right? And they're trying to make their viewpoint. But I think it was good to have that kind of addition of both sides. Now,
bedrock principle of religious freedom is being severely tested by the pandemic.
Singing has been banned at all church services in California.
We need to bend the curve.
I could feel something inside of me like we gotta take a stand.
Christian singer and activist Sean Foyt leading what's called Let Us Worship.
This guy is probably responsible for hundreds of deaths.
We thank you, Lord, that there is another story that the media isn't telling. It is one of hope.
There's a pandemic. There's a plague. Here's a move of God. It's gonna change America.
The whole thing is fear, man. It's fear. It's intimidation.
Courage is taught when you see it. You can't teach it as principles. You have to see it modeled.
Christians are rising up. I'm telling you guys.
Light overcomes darkness every day.
This is not political. This is biblical.
Super Spreader, rated PG-13, in theaters September 29th.
I just want to say one more thing. The documentary really shows the persecution that the Foyt family went through during this whole thing. And so, like, to withstand the storm, do what God's called you to do, they are going to be redeemed. We all are. There's going to be restoration. So, hallelujah.
And it reminds me of what Jesus said, you'll be hated by all for my name's sake. And if we just try to bend and go with the flow of what the culture's doing, we're missing the whole message that we're not of the world. To tack on to the announcements, Susan Jensen will be starting a Danny Silk parenting class. It's a smooth class. Parenting 101. It's an 8-week course. Let us know if you're interested. And then we'll pick a day of the week and we'll get it going. And then they're doing 21 days of prayer and fasting starting January 7th to January 27th in the future. So join us for the last week. And then I'm going to touch back on that helps thing. Is that okay with you guys?
Yeah.
The helps. So what a gift. And it was highlighted in the book. It was highlighted by Paul in 1 Corinthians, the gift of helps. Is that right?
Yeah.
Thank you. The gift of helps. And how all of us get to do this life together, in community together, because we all, whether we know it or not, are helping each other through this. But there's a dynamic thing that happens in the church with this gift of helps, that there's power and it transforms lives. And we don't just help each other because we're Christians, we're part of the same spiritual family. We help others in the community, and we do that to shine the light of Jesus. All the helping that we get to do is for the kingdom that cannot be shaken. So if it means I got to stop and pull somebody out of the snow because they're like, hey, I'm stuck. Like, man, I got so much going on. I can't stop right now. I've got no time. But I have a sticker on my window that says, pray, Jesus here. So when I back up to pull in to try to pull them out, and it was probably a dozen people in the past week and a half.
You don't have to pull out my kids. I'm
a dozen or maybe 15, 16. But they get to see the pray, Jesus hears. Hey, right afterwards, you got unstuck. Jesus loves you. See you later. Huh? Okay, yeah, you too. But we're building a kingdom that cannot be shaken. It won't be destroyed. And Jesus helps us to do just that. And we may feel like our part is insignificant or small. We may feel like, hey, I'm just a lowly snow shoveler. Or, hey, I'm just an accountant. Hey, I'm just a mom staying home trying to keep the house from burning down with all these little kids. But you're changing the world. God's using you to be a help and a blessing to people around you. Don't forget that. Don't ever take that for granted. You are a big help to this body, this community. And all of you guys that came in from out of town, you're helping us out a lot.
Yeah.
In fact, you're helping so much that the word spread. And I have a New York Times interview this afternoon.
Wow.
They're calling to ask about the snow shoveling and how we're helping people's houses. Help. And you know what they're going to hear? They're going to hear about our best friend. The one who had answered prayer and brought the snow, and the one who had answered prayer and brought the bros to remove the snow. And so it may gain no traction, but at least that reporter is going to hear about Jesus today. The one thing that lasts. Thank you for helping us in worship. Did you know that Jairo on the keys, Kayla on the lead vocals, and what's your name?
Priscilla.
Priscilla, thank you. Did you know that they're family, they're yes. brother and sisters?
Yes.
Well, of course, they're your in-laws.
Yeah. They're,
they're family. But they helped usher us into the presence of the Lord today.
Yeah.
Do you know in his presence is what?
Fullness of joy.
Freedom.
Freedom.
Oh, you lead me in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. And though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for you are with me. You know, he's with us. He's with us. He leads us. And he leads us right into his presence. And everything around us, like I said, might be tough. And there's going to be challenges that we face. There's going to be death. There's going to be cracks in your roof. There's going to be times you're stuck. Literally, spiritually, figuratively, emotionally, financially, relationally, Did I miss any? We're going to be stuck. But the Lord is there to help us, and he's there to use each of you to do it, to be a part of his body. I did not plan to preach today, but again, Pastor Mike reached out last minute. And coming off of an insane week, I don't think I've done a 90-hour work week in a long time. But the guys know. Thank you for helping us through this. So that being said, you all have experienced something special that the Lord's just done and is doing currently. And if you have a testimony and a word that you want to share that can build us up to get through this next week, please, you're welcome too. So this is now going to transform into a testimony time where we share what he's done, that we all would be blessed and encouraged and reminded to go out and do the same for others. Becky has an encouraging story. And as she comes down, I'm going to share this too. I drove home, not this Sunday, but last Sunday night at basically 10 o'clock. I left Gardnerville, and I got home at 2 a.m. towing a skid steer, but it was snowing. And the wind was blowing, it was snowing the entire drive. I white-knuckled it for half of that drive. And I couldn't take my foot off the pedal, otherwise I'd slide back down the hills with this big trailer behind me. And I prayed, Lord, I really could use a snowplow in front of me. And I come around the corner, going up to Conway, coming from Nevada to here, and there's a snowplow. Oh, thank you, Lord. And then the snowplow pulls off. Oh, Lord, I could use another snowplow going down Conway Pass. It was just icy. The wind buff, 6-12 inches or more on the road, blowing hard. I'm the only dummy driving. Lord, I could use another snowplow. Come around the corner. Yeah, thank you, Lord. And then the next part I needed it was going up from Lee Vining to June Lake. Like, I got to keep my momentum. Otherwise, I'm not going to make it. It's too icy. And then, Lord, I could really use a snowplow. And he did it again. Like, oh, three times. Thank you, Lord. He came through and he helped me. Becky, come on up.
Mine's a snow story, too. About, I think it was like Wednesday or Thursday of the week before, so about 10 days ago. We had all that snow, and I managed it pretty well. But then I had a big amount that I needed to move during the break, and I was just sore and tired and just didn't know where I was going to get the strength. So we have a prayer group, and I just said, I can't make the prayer group, but I asked for them to pray. And, man, I had a friend that stayed home from work just to help me. And then I just had strength. And even when we were done, it took like 4 hours. And when we were done, she's like, I don't know where you're getting your energy. And I was like, it's the Lord.
And it's true. What does he say? What does David say? The Lord is my strength. The Lord is my strength. He is my song. He has become my salvation. You can't say salvation without Sean Foyt, right?
Or Sean Fredrickson.
Or Sean Fredrickson. Phew! Who else has a... Come on, Mark. Share it, brother. Brother. And this guy keeps the town clean, by the way. Without him, there would be no sheets.
Oh, yeah. My name is Mark Margulies, and I don't know where to start, but I know where to start. My friend right here is one of my heroes, and he answered the phone and helped us out because we were buried too, just like everybody else. We're all buried. And the guys from San Diego, thank you guys for coming up, man. Unbelievable. Richard says, I just hired 95 guys. I went, where'd you get 90? I didn't even know where he got 95 guys. But my wife asked, where'd he get 95 guys? We need guys. Because we do the laundry in town. And Bridgeport on down. And boy, talk about delivering problems. Oh, my gosh. So anyways, I told Grace, I said, thank you for sharing your husband. He's one of our heroes. And there's there's probably half a dozen, I don't know why I'm crying, but there's a half a dozen guys in Mammoth and gals that just are heroes. I mean, if we didn't have, I don't know who the Lord would have provided us, but he provided you and your family, and I just want to thank you publicly for answering the phone and for getting up on the roof and getting all that done. And I mean, it was a mess. And then this morning, another friend, another hero, took all that snow and trucked it out and put it out in the, I mean, you know where all that goes, right? You guys see it. It's out in the parking lot. Now what do you do with it? You got to get it out of there, right? So we can park and have church. Well, we had the same thing with our at our laundry. And gosh, you know, help is a great thing. I love helping people. I like you. I just stop and help. I wish I could pull people out with my car, but I can't. But I got stuck too. And I was dropping a friend off who needed a ride after lunch bunch. And he goes, there it is. And I didn't even think. I tried to turn in and there was this huge berm. So here I am, high centered. I go, oh, great. Right on Old Mammoth Road. Everybody's seeing, oh, there's that guy. There's one. There's another guy stuck. You know, you always go, oh, look at that guy. He's stuck. Oh, well, I was that guy. So I get out and I start shoveling. I have a shovel. I start shoveling the berm. And this guy pulls up, not in a truck. He goes, hey, can I pull you out? And I said, absolutely. He hooked me up, yanked me out. And my friend said, give him some money. I said, okay. So I pull out a 10, gave him 10. He goes, oh, thank you. He wasn't doing it for money. He was just helping. But, thinking of all the help experiences and opportunities out there, there's so many things that we can do. Habitat for Humanity, one that we just love. Samaritan's Purse. We love Samaritan's Purse. And I was reading Franklin Graham, who's had a Samaritan's Purse, reading his autobiography. Amazing. So I have a routine. I don't read at night because what happens? Fall asleep, right? So I read in the morning before I go skiing. I'm sitting in my car. I'm a half hour, 45 minutes early, so I'm reading. And I was reading, I was sharing with Richard just a minute ago, saying, does anybody know what God's room is? God's room. I'm thinking, God's room. He explains God's room. God's room is, okay, we need to do an expansion. How about the portables, right? We need money for the portables. Let's raise as much money as we can. Let's say it's 500,000. Just kidding, but 500,000. So our church raises, let's say, 100,000. But we need 400 more. Now, we can't do that. 400 more. We can go each individual and we can talk to you. Everybody. Can you give more, 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 more? Okay, we get 200,000, but we still need 500,000. God's room is where that 200 to 500 comes in. It's a miracle. We pray about it, and God's room is there. And that's God's room. I just went, wow, I learned something great this morning. God's room. So when we need help, we need shovelers, we need backhoes, we need trucks, we need heroes. God's room. We just pray about it. Bring him on.
Yeah. Amen. It leaves room for God to work. And then you realize, oh, you actually showed up and you care about us. Because he does. Which is so special. You got a word?
Yeah.
Come on up, Kyle. This is Kyle Spiewak, a friend of mine for a long time.
Thanks, Trotto. If you guys don't know Mark, he is a legend. You should get to know him, 72 days on the mountain so far this year. He's my hero. Speaking of getting stuck, it was mentioned earlier about Billy. Billy is a local legend. Eastern Sierra Propane got stuck at my house, the big propane tank. I don't even know the guys. They're like, oh, call Billy. So they call Billy, and, of course, you know, Billy ends up calling Joseph, and Joseph comes out the loader and tows him out to the rescue. But we were stuck in our house because they were blocking our driveway. So just publicly, thank you, Billy. Like, your commitment to serve the community and just anyone of in the church, just I was blessed by Billy this week. But that's not what I want to share. 2 Corinthians 8:12, this is the New King James. It says, "For if there is first a willing mind, it is accepted according to what one has, and not according to what he does not have." So I'm going to read it again. 2 Corinthians 8:12, "If there is first a willing mind, it is accepted according to what one has, and not according to what he does not have." And I don't know about you guys, but I at times have gotten stuck just mentally, spiritually, business-wise. It's like, God, I'm just in a rut, God. And one of the things God showed me this week is he said, Kyle, often you compare yourself to your ideals. So ideally, I'd like to be a lot less weight. Or ideally, I'd like our business to be someplace. Or ideally, and you have these ideals and they're great. They're great to set goals on. Hey, I have this goal. We're going to, whatever it is. But he showed me if you're always measuring yourself by your ideals, what was happening with me is I would hit these ideals, oh, if our business could just get to this point, and then we'd get there, and then I would not, it didn't mean anything. I couldn't even celebrate. I'd be like, oh, great, we just hit that, but on to the next thing. And then what happened was, reach forward, now I'm stuck where it's like, well, who cares if I hit that goal? Because they don't even really matter, seem to matter anyways. What is going on, God? And I'm stuck in this rut. So he gives me this scripture, for if there's first a willing mind, it is accepted according to what one has and not according to what he doesn't have. And he said, Kyle, you need to measure yourself according to what you have, or more importantly, to where you need to measure yourself according to where you've come from. So what he started showing me was like, wow, our business 5 years ago is tripled. Like, I can't even believe that. My life from 10 years ago is mind-blowing. So I start stacking up. And so what he showed me to start doing is at the end of the day, I'm like, wow, what were the gains from today? It's like, wow. You know, I was golfing 2 weeks ago, and I was playing terrible. It was horrible. And what he showed me, I was like, wow, he flipped it, and I was trying to look at the gain, and I thought, wow, I've golfed more this year than I have in the last 10 years of my life. You know, like, that's amazing. And then the latter half, I started playing better. And so the word that I have is that if we're measuring ourselves according to what we have, not what we don't have, or that ideal in our life, like, wow, me compared to yesterday is progress. Me compared to where I'm going is good. Keep that in sight, but look at how much I've gained, not the gap between where I am and where I'm not. So, that's all.
Thank you. Yes. And Kyle, that I knew him from a long time ago, and one of the things that inspired me was just his commitment to turn away from some things of the world, and instead, when he felt tempted of doing those things, he would just learn how to play piano. And so, he can play piano really well, because the enemy always comes to tempt us to do dumb things. So then he just went right to the piano. Beautiful, huh? Yeah, so I'm inspired by that. It's kind of been one of those things mulling in my brain. What's a good way to divert what the enemy's trying to do to make it healthy, to benefit the kingdom, to benefit my life, my family? Jairo's got a word here. Come on, Jairo.
Hi, guys. If you guys don't know me, I'm Jairo Yanez. I'm Kayla's little brother. And I usually don't speak, but... So at my other church, the Hispanic church down in Mammoth, it's called the Iglesia Misionera de Jesucristo, translated as a church, missionary church of Jesus Christ. And my uncle's a pastor. So, yeah, I've known, this is all I know, this is all of this that we do here today, I've known in my entire life. So, and I thank God for that. And so this Thursday, well, first of all, I want to open up with, I almost died this Thursday. Like, I actually almost died. Yeah, no, it's crazy. And I'll go to that story. And that's why I'm up here to thank God publicly, because give him all the glory, because without him, we wouldn't be here. But whether any other situation we're passing through, we have to thank God either way. Because he's just the one that will nurture us back. He's the one who's going to help us and just help us find the clear way. So my dad was preaching this Thursday, or this last Thursday, he was preaching how there's always angels around us. No matter where we are, there's like probably a designated angel for us, like each and every one of us. And so he was preaching about that, and yeah, he was just preaching about like the protection of God and whatnot. And then I'm coming back home, or I'm driving back home. I just dropped off my girlfriend. She lives in Manzanita Street. So then I'm driving down Manzanita, going towards Meridian so I can go home. And in that intersection of Manzanita and Dorrance, there's that stop right there. So before that stop, I'm driving like slow because it's icy in the roads. And I see a loader come my way. So I'm like all the way to the right. As you should, because you should drive on the right. So I'm like all the way on the right, and I see the loader like probably, I don't know, 100 feet before, like in front of me. So I'm like, oh, he's probably going to clean this side. So I'm just gonna stop, slow down, and do a complete stop so he can come like around me. Yeah, like I think it's fine, nothing normal. But then I'm seeing the loader first of all, he's going full speed, like going forward. And I was like, all right, he has to slow down, right? He doesn't slow down. So he keeps on coming and coming. And then maybe like 20 feet away from where I am, he decides to angle his blade towards me. Yeah. And the thing is, I always drive with my brights on at night. Like always, I don't care. Like I'm one of those people. Yes. I'm one of those people that always drive with your lights. I'll blind you. It's, like I like being better safe than sorry, right? So like 100 feet away with my brights on, he should have seen me. Like easily should have seen me. Like there's no way, but yeah. So he's coming like closer and closer, and then that's where he decides to angle his blade towards me, where the car is. He keeps on getting closer, and he doesn't stop. And I was like, there's no way. It's like there's no way he's gonna stop. Like he's not stopping right now. And I'm just there like this in my car. I'm like shaking. No, I'm shaking, man. And then he's getting closer and closer and closer. And then like 5 feet in front of me, he's still not stopping, full speed. And right there, I'm like, I'm going to die here. Because he would have just ran me over. He would have just got my driver's side, and I wouldn't have been here today. Being serious, I would have died. And he kept on getting closer and closer, and that's where I was like, God, forgive me. Forgive me for everything. Even though we're not perfect, forgive me for everything that I've done. Forgive me if I've just done something wrong. Like, I'm not, like, if I die, I want to go with you. I don't want to go down there. I want to go up there. Yeah. Like, I don't want to, like, that's the... And for being so young, that's the scariest part, because at least being young and naive, we tend to do a lot of stuff that we think it's good, but then at the end of the day, when we look back, it's bad. So then I was like, God, forgive me. I'm going to die here. And he kept on getting closer and closer. And maybe, I swear, maybe like 2 feet in front of me, something came into me, and I slammed my left foot on my clutch, put on reverse, and I just gassed my gas. And I just shot out. I just shot out, like, probably 1 feet in front of me. I just shot out. And I know it wasn't me, because I wouldn't think to just do that. I'm pretty sure it was God or an angel moving my feet, moving my arm, so I can just shoot out. And the craziest part is, so whenever I'm driving, I always have music on. And I still have, like, a CD player in my car, so I have a bunch of CDs. And... the CD that I always have in there, my grandpa, rest in peace, he's with the Lord now, but he used to make music. He used to make music. He used to produce music, and he used to make music, like old school Mexican music. But like Christian music. Worship music. So I was listening to a song, and that specific song, he was saying in that song that, translating it, it says, "And I know now that there's a God that exists, and that he's all powerful, and he will always bring us blessing." That's what that line said. In Spanish, ahora tengo un, o ahora conozco de un Dios todopoderoso que nos trae bendición y libertad. And as soon as I heard that, like, I heard that specific line as soon as I reversed out. Like that specific line. I said in the beginning. Oh yeah, I said it, but I just said it in Spanish again. Well, in the beginning I said that, and now I recognize that there is a living God, and that he's all powerful and he brings blessing. So like that can't be a coincidence. Like I know it can't. I know that's God. And I know that it's him. So now I'm here now. I'm like, I need to share this with someone, because I told my parents and I told my siblings, and they're just like, wow, that's really crazy. But like for me, like it's really crazy, man. I could have died, but by the glory of God, or by the mercy of God, I'm here. And just one thing I would like to share with you guys is that this verse always pops into my head. It's my favorite verse ever since I really started like sitting down and taking all this stuff seriously. I would like to read Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect. So, for us to keep on going, there has to be a change in here. There has to be a change in here in our mindset in order to really view all the spiritual things that God wants us to see. And without having that change of our mindset, we can't. Like if we die tomorrow without having that change of mindset, we're probably not going to be up there. If we don't take all of this seriously, if we don't start now. And I think that was a wake up, that instance was a wake up call for me. Like, yeah, I'm in a church, I'm involved, but I feel like God's telling me be more involved. Do more. Because what you're doing now isn't sufficing me. It isn't sufficing him. It's only sufficing me. Keep on renewing your mind. I feel like that's what God's telling me with this verse. Keep on renewing. And I tell that to you guys so we can all do it at the same time too. Because God just wants more and more from us. Even if we think we're doing more, he still wants more. He still wants us to, you know, give up everything that we have 100% just to follow him. And that's all I had. So, yeah, I was... Oh, yeah, okay, sorry, yeah, okay, yeah. No, that, I thought I was done. Okay, so I shoot out, and he keeps on going, and then I guess he finally realized that, oh, there's a car right there. So he stops completely, he lifts up his whole entire blade, then he reverses back a little bit, and then goes the opposite way to where I was. Then he lets, and he waves me to let me pass. So then I go slowly. And then I put down my window and I just honked at him and I was like, hey man, like what the heck? And he didn't open his door, he didn't do anything, he just waved. And I was like, yeah, maybe, but I was thinking that too, maybe he didn't see me, but he had to see me. He had to have seen me. And then, so then the crazy thing is, behind that loader, it was another brother from our church that was coming back home too. And I get close to him. I put down my window, and he puts down his window. He's like, hey man, are you okay? He's like I saw that whole thing, and you should have died. He told me that too. He's like, you should have died. He's like I'm glad that you reacted so quickly and you shot. Like I saw you shot out and everything. I saw the whole thing. He's like, I'm glad you're smart enough to shoot out. I'm glad you didn't stay there. And I was like, thanks man, I'm glad too. And then he told me, he's like, yeah, I think that guy was like either drunk or like super high, because like there's no way, he's like, even I saw you from how far you were. So he saw me and he was behind the loader. So the loader had to have seen me too. So then, but thankfully, like I didn't think much of it, but that brother from our church, he got the license plate from the loader, and like he got the serial number or whatever from the loader. So I don't know. Yeah, I think it was. I don't remember because. But yeah, he got like the information for it. And I think he got, because the company's name was on the side too. So I think he got that. And I think he contacted them, told them what happened. So, yeah. So a little exhortation for me. But that's it. All right. And Kayla wants to say something too. So if Kayla wants to come up, yeah. Oh, yeah, you can.
Yeah, that was so good. And so Becky had mentioned that we have a prayer group. And we do meet here on Tuesday nights at 6. There's also one in Bishop at 6. But we have Upper Zoom Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 8:30 in the morning. We're supposed to be done at 9:30, but we just get caught up in the spirit, and sometimes we go to 10:30. But all that to say is we have been praying, and we have been taking communion. We have been praying for angels to hold back avalanches, for cornices not to fall on people, for no dozer accidents, because I've been here 25 years. A lot of you have been here longer, but... this happens where people get crushed by dozers because they can't see them, or cornices fall on children, sadly. So we haven't lost anybody. And we have been praying. And so that's just a testimony to our prayers as a church body, but also corporately we've been praying for the nation as well. But I just want to encourage you all to do that. We've been doing communion every day. And we have been seeing just miracles. That is a miracle. And it keeps happening over and over. And even in my own life, my nephew's 30 years old. He's the first born out of the grandkids, out of nine. And he's just in a battle with alcoholism, like very, very, very severe. And it's really coming to the head where he's going to die if God doesn't intervene. And throughout the last 7 or 8 years, he's been in and out of rehab. In fact, I think his mom is probably watching right now. I love you. He's been in and out of rehab for 7 or 8 years, which has been it's been horrible for the family and for him. But in the last few weeks, it's where the rubber has met the road. And, you know, I just told the family, like, you can't save him. I can't save him. He can't even save himself. He has to turn his heart back to the Lord. And we will witness a miracle. But we've been getting on calls, and we've been praying, and we've been doing communion in his behalf. And last week, you know, they had to, like, you need to go take a tent. It's freezing. It's on the west side by Yosemite. So, you know, not a good tent, not a good sleeping bag. But his addiction's so severe that they couldn't have him there anymore, which rips the family apart. It's horrible. But the last few days he's been missing. This last week we've been praying, doing communion. We've submitted him to the Lord. This is not in our strength. This is all you, Lord. He hears the cries of our hearts. And just, you know, he's been missing from that tent for like 3 or 4 days. My sister-in-law was devastated, just kept thinking he was dead. And we got a call. Well, I got the call yesterday that he wasn't dead. He was picked up by an ambulance and taken to a hospital. So to me, I give glory to God, because now we know he is in a hospital. He's warm. He's getting, you know, the meds that he needs. And we are contending for a miracle. And he should have been dead. You know, he was found in some public restroom somewhere, probably with alcohol poisoning. We don't have a lot of details. But his name is Kyle. And he is a musician. I think it's being ripped off by the enemy. I always thought he would be a worship leader someday. And this addiction got him like 7 or 8 years ago. So I'm praying and contending for a miracle. I want him to come here actually to be around all these incredible young men and really see what Jesus is like. And I'm contending for that. So thank you. I just wanted to share that. And I give glory to God that he's alive.
And Kayla, Sean and Kayla. So go Kayla first. We'll let ladies come up, and then we'll close out with Sean. Thank you. Did it get darker outside? It did? Okay. Did anybody bring popcorn?
Good morning, everyone. My name is Kayla. I want to start by reading off Romans 12:12. I'm going to read the English Standard Version. I was laughing because Jairo pulled up Romans, and I had Romans. It says, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. First of all, I want to thank Richard for submitting to the Lord and Holy Spirit. Because this morning, as we were getting ready, help is the word that I had in my mind. Because I couldn't do what we do at the worship team if it wasn't for everyone here. And especially Jairo and Priscilla. During the last few years, I need to calm down. It's much harder speaking than it is singing. During the last few years, the Lord, or the devil, has really had a hold on a lot of our family members. And we had my cousin Andrew, who was tied to meth, alcohol, and demons and everything by the book. The Lord redeemed him, and the Lord found him and got clean. and he's amazing, now works for Richard. But When you say help, sometimes help is not just, you know, and I appreciate that everyone stopping and, you know, helping you out or giving you a call and you're there, but help also comes in the spiritual sense where we pray for one another. We lay hands on another if appropriate, and, you know, we're there for each other. And Priscilla here, before she left Los Angeles, she was very lost and angry at the Lord. And our family had been praying for a long time for her to meet the Lord. And I would always pray, I'm like, Lord, I don't want anything to happen to my sister. I want you to meet her, and I know I need to be patient, but it's hard. And I remember the Lord said, you can't do the prayer by yourself. And I said, okay. I'm like, I guess I need to be vulnerable, which I don't like sometimes. And so I remember coming to women's group and asking for the prayer. And I explained to him, my sister's lost, and I don't want her to be lost. I mean, the Bible says that me and my house will serve the Lord. And we're not all serving, but, you know, if you guys could help pray for that, like for the Lord to renew her, for the Lord to restore her, for the Lord to bring peace and understanding and free her from everything that, you know, she needs to be freed of. And she decides to go to Los Angeles with my brother Eli, because we have another brother that lives in Los Angeles. And then she goes, and I say, Lord, just do what you're going to do. And the women's prayer group prayed along with me, and we submitted it, and we said, do what you're going to do. Lo and behold, I told the Lord, I was like, Lord, I don't need to be that person for her, but you find the means of doing that. And we would go down, and I would see a change. She wouldn't be as angry as when we spoke about the Lord or about God. Because before, I could see the anger bubbling, and I couldn't. It was something that's like, all right, I'm just going to let it go. And then the Lord finds her. The Lord finds her. And she says that at some point she can share her testimony, but the Lord frees her from anxiety. The Lord frees her from all malicious thoughts and minds that she was held captive in. And the Lord did it. And then she moved up because she said, I need to come back and, you know, renew relationships and just be here. And then she gets baptized. And I'm over here like, okay, God, like, what else do you have in store? So it wouldn't have been possible if it wouldn't have been for the help of prayers and patience. And it's like, it's hard. Like, a lot of family members in our family, my aunt specifically, has prayed for my uncle to come to the feet of Jesus for 25 years. And he did it. We just don't know the timing. It's the Lord's timing and not ours. And I would have never, I mean, no, my hope and desire was that we worship together as siblings. And I was losing hope, but if it wasn't for the help of women's group and people telling, I'm praying for you, or like, we're praying for her, don't worry, God's got it, I don't think we would have been able to do what we do today. And I want to thank you all. Prayer works. But just like the verse says, we have to be constant in prayer. And that's it. Bless you guys.
Oh, thank you. And her cousin, one sec. And her cousin, Andres, he saw how just intense this last week was. At one point, it was 150 guys that we had going. And Andres just walks into the shop, and I was about to short circuit. Andres comes in. The Lord just told me to come over here. Come here. And we go to the back, the stinky hallway by the bathrooms. Devin knows that one. And he says, the Lord told me to come pray for you. Oh. And I just melted. And the rest of the day was better because of the help of that. I needed that. And speaking of that, Sean has, he's raised his hand. And after Sean, then we'll finish up with Katie. How's that? We'll squeeze it all in. So this man has been an incredible help, and I would have short-circuited again had it not been for Sean and his family coming up from San Diego. Then they may be here for months to help in this process. So thank you, Sean. Oh.
Well, first, what a special place. Bethany and I have been coming up here for as long as you've been here. And it's every time we come up the mountain, we always try to make the time to pop into this church because it's so special. Kayla, you crushed it with that verse, Romans 12. That was on my heart too, actually. So I'm just going to read a little bit further beyond it, where I think you read 12:12. I'm going to jump into 12:14, where it says, bless those who persecute you. Bless and don't curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Don't set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Don't be wise in your own conceits. Like, what does this mean? Like, why does Paul tell us to bless those who are persecuting us? Like, what does it mean to be a Christian? Well, I think we need a little more context. And so there is an early church letter. It's written from this, it's believed that he was an apostle of Paul. His name is Matthias, and he's writing to Diognetus. And this is written in around 75 A.D. And Diognetus is trying, he's trying to figure out, like, what is a Christian? What does it mean to be a Christian? And Matthias is writing Diognetus to say, this is what it means. And so in chapter 5 of that letter, he says, for the Christians are distinguished from one another, from other men, neither by country nor language nor by customs which they observe. For they neither inhabit cities of their own nor indwell to particular forms of speech nor lead a life which is marked out by any singularity. They dwell in their own countries, but simply as sojourners. As citizens, they share in all things with others and yet endure all things as foreigners. Every foreign land is to them as their native country, and every land of their birth is as a land of strangers. They marry, as do all others. They beget children, but they do not destroy their offspring. They have a common table, but they do not have a common bed. They are in the flesh, but they do not live after the flesh. They pass their days on earth, but as citizens of heaven. They obey the prescribed laws, and at the same time surpass the laws by their lives. They love all men, and are persecuted by all. They are unknown and condemned. They are put to death and restored to life. They are poor, yet make many rich. They are in lack of all things, and yet abound in all things. They are dishonored, yet in their very dishonor are glorified. They are evil spoken of, yet are justified. They are reviled and blessed. They are insulted and repay the insult with honor. They do good, yet are punished as evildoers. When punished, they rejoice as if quickened into life. They are assailed by the Jews as foreigners and are persecuted by the Greeks. Yet those who hate them are unable to assign any reason for their hatred. If you are in the world as a Christian, you can expect to do what is right and moral and be vilified for it. Because since the beginning, this is what it's been like to be a Christian. Because we are shining the light in dark places. And the darkness wants to be dark. The darkness does not love the light. They reject the light. And I'm so encouraged always by Sean. I've done many things with him. Sean Foy, forgive me, not me, not myself. And sorry, I was pointing to the screen there. Because of the hardship that he has chosen to engage in. And I think as Christians, what is the small light that we are carrying, regardless of where we are? I believe that God is calling us into discomfort regularly. And he's asking me, will you trust me? Will you trust me to overcome your fear? Will you trust me to say yes in this scenario, to do something maybe you haven't done before, but you know will produce life? Because that is the goal of a Christian, is to produce life as Jesus continually produce life regardless of the circumstance. Think as Jesus was on the cross, he still produced life to the man on his right. He's bleeding out and he's still producing life while being persecuted, while being stabbed. He's still producing life. And that is the testimony of what a Christian is called to do. When they persecute you, rejoice, because you're over the target. That's the opportunity to produce life, because it's been said, when you squeeze a fruit, you find out what it's made of. You take an orange, you get orange juice. You take an apple, you get apple juice. What does a Christian have when it's squeezed? What comes out of you when things get difficult? Because that's what you're made of.
Yeah. Amen. So don't be a lemon. So we'll wrap up. Katie's got something to share, and I'm sure it's going to be sweet. Oh, we got another. Okay. Come on. Thanks, Katie.
Of course. God made me laugh, because when we were worshiping this morning, he said to me, if they have open mic and people share, I want you to share. And I was like, oh, man. So I just know I was laughing with the Lord. As soon as you're like, oh, we're going to have all you guys share now. So what I want to share, just my encouragement to you, it's a story. But the point of the story is those times where you feel like God has called you to do something and it turns out so different than you anticipated. And you think in your mind, this is what God is doing. I'm so excited. We're doing this with him. And then it changes. And you're like, did I not hear right, Lord? I don't understand. And he says, it's more about the process and your obedience than it is about what happened, than about the final outcome. So our family snuck away last weekend for a couple days to the desert. It was great. We cheated. We were celebrating a family birthday, and I've been participating in the fast and prayer with the church, and what God had put on my heart was to fast lunches every day. And instead of eating lunch with my children, I have four young ones, I would make them lunch and then leave them at the kitchen table, and I'm going to go spend time with Jesus in my room and pray and worship during lunch. So it was kind of like a Daniel is the picture God gave me, is I want you to kind of be like Daniel morning, and I don't normally do things at lunch with the Lord, and so I went to go grocery shopping because we don't have a Costco here. And my family, that's big. There's six of us. And so I was like, yes, we're in the desert. I'm going to go grocery shopping. So I went to Costco, and then I was hitting Sprouts. And it was about lunchtime. So I was like, okay, Lord, this is normally when I would, you know, spend time with you. Kyle had the children, so it was just me, which for those of you moms, you know, that time is so special. And so I pull up to Sprouts, and I walk up, and there's a gentleman on the ground with a sign. No home, no family, no food, anything helps. And I make eye contact with him. And a little history of me is I'm one of those people that loves to go. I will go buy a sandwich or a coffee, or I usually will try to bless a person in that way. I'm not a big fan of giving the money, but I love to do something small. So I'm like, Lord, this is it. This is what I get to do during my fasting time at lunch. I get to go bless this man with lunch. So we're in Sprouts, and I only had to get three things. So I'm like, perfect, like 10 minutes, maybe max. So I go grab my three things, and Sprouts has a great sandwich bar. So I'm like, all right, Lord, I'm going to get him a sandwich. And as I'm working on the sandwich, God's like, go grab him some fruit and go get a chocolate chip cookie. And so I was like, yes, I was so excited. And I'm like, do you want me to pray for him? I would love to pray for him. You tell me what else we're going to do for him. And so I do this probably, and it's less than 10 or 15 minutes. I have my bag. Oh, potato chips. That was the other thing. God said, get him two bags of potato chips. So I got him two bags of potato chips, chocolate chip cookie, water bottle, sandwich. I was ready to go. Pray for him. Bless him. I walk out. And he's gone. He's gone. And I was like, I kind of looked a little bit both ways. I was like, Lord, what's going on? Did I hear wrong? I mean, we've been conversing the whole grocery store, little run through. And I was so excited about this. And I was like, what better way to spend me not eating than to be able to bless someone else with the opportunity to eat? And so I'm like, okay, maybe I love the verse, it is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but is the glory of kings and queens to search it out. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to search. So my family is laughing. They weren't with me, but I told them this right when I got home. So I drove through the parking lot, and this was not a small parking lot. There was Sprouts. There was like 4 or 5 or 6 eating places. It was a giant place. So I probably drove through it 3 or 4 times. I was looking everywhere, every door. I'm like, where is this guy? Did he get a ride with someone? I was only in the store like 10 or 15 minutes. What's going on, Father? And so then I was like, okay, maybe he went to a gas station, or maybe, I don't know. So I'm driving home, and it's the end of my shopping time, and I was headed back to our Airbnb, and I was like, all right, I'll just look. So I looked at every gas station as I drove by, not even seeing anyone, because I was like, maybe, Lord, you meant it for someone else. And anyways, we're driving to the point where I'm like, okay, there's not going to probably be homeless people the rest of this part of the drive. And I just was puzzled. I was like, God, what was that all about? I was so excited. And that's when he said, Katie, I loved your excitement, and I loved that we did this together. But you need to know that sometimes walking with me, it's not about the outcome. It's not about the final end result that you had in your mind. There's something more. And he said to me, I loved just that whole conversation with you. I loved the adventure that we went on. It was much more about your intimacy with me and your obedience than it was about you getting food for this man. So I don't know if it was an angel that was like, all right, Jesus, we're going to play a little game with Katie too.
Thank you. I'll take the chocolate chip cookie. Okay, Marco, last one, and then we're all going to just go worship. So, what? Okay.
Thanks. Hey, guys, I'm Marco, and I'm actually from Florida, but God called me out to live in Oceanside, and he's just blessed my life with these guys and Christian surfers and all sorts of community. But a year ago, I had no clue who Jesus was, and then I was going to school at the University of Florida, and there's a surf club there, and I was a member of the surf club, and it's a pretty worldly spot, a lot of getting into things like partying and whatnot. But in the UF surf club, there is a fisher of men named Micaiah, and Micaiah told me about Jesus, and I had never heard about him. I didn't know what the gospel was, and he shared with me Jesus, and it was at a time where I was completely broken by sin, and I just started to slowly turn and follow him, and God just called me out and brought me forward. And now Micaiah tonight is starting skate church at his house, and I just saw a text about it in the surf club, and they're kind of making jokes, but Micaiah is holding strong and in like a group chat of hundreds of people and just saying like, hey guys, like, it's okay, just come to skate church. And people are asking where the party's at and stuff, and he's like, come over here, here's where the party's at. But he's having his pastor, Bishop Ron, lead a service, and so he just asked me to pray for them this morning, and Matt and I got to pray for him. And so if you guys think of it, just pray that lives are changed through it, and lives are changed through Surf Club. He got elected president, and it's tough because like that place is known for being like party central, and it's cool that God just elected him to be a part of that, and God's actually holding him at Gainesville for one more semester too, and so I just know that many lives are going to be changed, and my life was radically changed. And he called me out here, and I see Titus 2:12, and I've heard that a couple times recently, but Yeah, and so, Richard, thank you for bringing us out here and helping us and encouraging us. We all needed this, not just financially, which we all did, but spiritually. And I just feel like God brought us out here to encourage each other and speak life into each other and share our testimonies and share just like what we need. And I was feeling pretty spiritually stuck before I came out here, and there was a Christian Surfers revival night at Matt's church, and they shared messages. They prayed and wrote down messages and stuck them in notebooks, and my notebook's in the car. But what it said was, step by step, you're moving forward. And coming to Jesus after 23 years of being apart from him has been tough, but there's been a lot of growth. But there's times where I'm tough on myself and seeing other people and just like, man, like, I'm still struggling with this, or I wanna be there, and it's just step by step, the Lord's lighting my path, and that path brought me here, and it encouraged me, and I look back to that place I was in a year ago, and I just think, man, have I moved forward? And all glory be to God. And so, Titus 2:11, for the grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people, and we are instructed to turn from godless living and sinful pleasures. We should live in this evil world with wisdom, righteousness, and devotion to God, while we look forward with hope to that wonderful day when the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be revealed. He gave his life to free us from every kind of sin, to cleanse us, and to make us his very own people, totally committed to doing good deeds. You must teach these things and encourage the believers to do them. You have the authority to correct them when necessary, so don't let anyone disregard what you say. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, beautiful. Well, worship team, you want to come on up? We're going to bring the plane down as we lift off. We're going to bring the plane up as we lift off to Jesus. Come on. So, hey, guys, we've been sitting for a while. Everyone stand up. You've got friends, neighbors, and new people around you. Grab someone's shoulder. Grab someone's shoulder and let them know that Jesus is for you.
Yeah. Jesus is for you.
He will help you. And I'm here for you too. To show you that Jesus is for you. And then just continue to bless each other, and grateful for this time together with you guys this morning. So the Lord bless you and keep you. Amen. 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 Thanks, Ann. So God bless you guys. It's always fun being with you. Our friend Isaac from Nebraska, he's got his hand up too. He drove out from Nebraska.
I know everyone's probably real hungry, so I'll keep this short. But I think the word that God's put on my heart is, like, his love is persistent and it's consistent. Because this summer, I was just in a bitter place. I was upset. I was angry. I had a lot of questions that were unanswered. And each place that he put me, there were people there that he put into my life that encouraged me and lifted me up. Like, even in my bitterness, my roommate, Richard, who this Richard knows, every single thing, every little thing, he'd be like, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. It'd be like I don't know, he'd get like a cheeseburger and he'd be like, praise the Lord. I'm like, this is a little ridiculous, but you know, right? All glory to God for every little thing. And then after that summer, the next two decisions that I made were really selfish. Like, I went and worked on a farm in Hawaii because I thought it'd be, like, fun. He led me to a group of men, older men, who just were filled with the Spirit, filled with love, and they just kind of poured into me and shared their stories, shared their lives. And that was so huge to see God alive in them and working. There was one man there who we can't, people were kind of working themselves into, it's the end of times, like world's ending, like so much is wrong with this world. What can we do? And the guy said, hey, stop. We got to give this to Jesus. We got to give everything to Jesus. If we give 95% to Jesus and only try to do 5% ourselves, that 5% is going to take over. And so we just need to give it all to Jesus, 100%. There's another guy who, his son was a Marine killed in Benghazi. And to see that he still held strong to his faith, still believed in God, still held true to that faith through that tragedy was just very, like, encouraging and inspirational. And then coming out here, I came out here to make money. Not going to lie. But just to see, like how Richard lives out his faith through shoveling. You're shoveling, but you can still live out your faith. And it's not about what you do, but why you're doing it and how you're doing it. And so it's just been kind of awesome and crazy to see that how God's love has been consistent, even when I'm trying to run away. Even when I'm trying to run away, he's still pulling me back and chasing after me. So that's what I got. Thank you.
Love you guys. Come on. Hug each other on the way out. Enjoy some worship.
Light world, you step down into darkness. So here